Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Steve Jones Show on a Monday. News Radio 1070 WKOK. Matt Catrillo here with you. Steve will soon be there from the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai. Lots of pre-owned inventory. Great service department and sales staff. And it's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Great with anything you need. State inspections, the big replacements, the small oil changes. They got you covered at SMC. And every Monday show brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, or head to purdyinsurance.com. Home, auto, life, business, you name it, they have it. They got you covered. They are the true pros. And that is Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, or at purdyinsurance.com. A phenomenal, phenomenal football weekend. I'll get to that in a second. But first, do want to touch on Penn State real quick. After the tough loss to Iowa Saturday, and what Micah Shrewsbury said there with Steve before we started the show here, I think basically sums it up. And this is a team, this team's strength seems to be, at least from what I, from my perspective, maybe Steve might feel a little bit differently, is the defense and rebounding and to create the offense, because this is not a, it's not an offensive first type team. And when you lose those battles, again, though, against a very good Iowa team, and you mentioned, and he mentioned during the show there with Steve about how particularly good the Hawkeyes are in offensive rebounding, it's going to be tough sledding for you. So, but I still think, you know, Penn State, this is a team that's still growing. They were in a good spot here and a little bit of a good run, even though you had some tough losses in there. So this is still, they're still going to be an interesting team to watch down the stretch here, but just wasn't their day Saturday in Iowa. Now we see what happens in Indiana coming up on Wednesday night. But now to the football weekend. Easily for me, Bills Chiefs, one of the greatest playoff games I've ever seen. Weekend, probably the most unbelievable weekend I've seen in for the playoffs. Everything coming down to the wire, all the road teams winning, capped off by what you saw last night in Kansas City. Just incredible. It's a shame because I obviously had my rooting interest now that the Eagles are out, and it should be for everybody here at the Central Susquehanna Valley's. Root for our Central PA guys, Brett Veach, of course, for Mount Carmel. And I'm very happy to see that they're back in the AFC Championship game, have a chance to get back to another Super Bowl. But I couldn't help but feel horrible, just awful for Bills Nation for having to now stomach another excruciating loss. I mean, when you think you had the game won not once but twice with everything on the line, I can't imagine what it must be like to be a Bills fan right now. Or maybe they're used to it. I don't know. If you're a Bills fan, you want to share, call it. Call in and let us know how you're feeling today, because I'd be curious. And I think that would have been a tremendous atmosphere to see the AFC title game in West New York. But I am thrilled for Brett Veach and the Chiefs once again to continue their incredible run. Andy Reid solidifying himself in the Hall of Fame, of course. We already established that. 19th postseason win. Chiefs are the first NFL team to get to go to four straight conference games at home, conference championship games at home. It's just incredible what the Chiefs have done. And then, of course, Robbie Gould, the other Central PA native, getting the game winner in Green Bay and a head-scratcher for the Packers. And I think that was it for Aaron Rodgers. That was probably the last stone for him with that choke job that the Packers pulled off. I mean, they're in control of the game the whole time, but you can just tell they just kept letting the 49ers stay in and hang around, and it came back to bite him in the rear end at the end when, again, special teams kills him with a blocked field goal and a blocked punt that led to their only touchdown in the game, and then you get the game winner from Robbie Gould himself. Cincinnati, that was a great, great win for them on the road, and I picked them. I love where that offense is at. And I feel like in this matchup with Kansas City next week, it could be another high-scoring game. Because that Kansas City secondary is not good. I mean, I think we've known that all year. But they had some really, really bad miscommunications in the waiting moments of that game. And you can't do that against the Cincinnati offense, especially when you're trying to control Ja'Marr Chase, Tyler Boyd, you name it. I mean, that is going to be another fun shootout, I think, next week in Arrowhead Stadium. But I'm thrilled for our Central PA guys that maybe they can meet again in the Super Bowl for the second time in 3 years. Either way, I think you'll have a tremendous matchup in the Super Bowl, whatever it is. I want to see either a rematch from last year, or I want to see Chiefs-Rams. That would be my top two. But I think it would be intriguing to see Cincy and San Francisco, given the past Super Bowl matchups. But either way, I think we're in for a treat regardless the rest of the way. Can it top this weekend? Probably not. But I still think it's those are fun games coming up.
Well, you know, it's yesterday was the second game was an absolute. You know, when you start talking about games for the ages, that was one of them. You know, there's now, as time goes, there's more and more games like that to fall into that category. But it just really was. It had high expectations, and it met and probably exceeded expectations. Of course, you're probably joyful that Brady and Rodgers are both out because you take joy in other people's pain.
Actually, yes, I do. I am enjoying that quite much, especially Rodgers.
Why?
Because he's a dope. That's why. I used to like him, but he's just ridden me off so much the wrong way. I not really much I like about him anymore, honestly.
He speaks highly of you.
And I think he's done.
Well, if he is, he is. You know? It's interesting because, you know, we talk about, you know, the era of the quarterback that can move. So Josh Allen can obviously move. Patrick Mahomes can move. I mean, Mahomes is the old man. He's 26. Joe Burrow can move. That was the only concern I had about – the biggest concern I had about Burrow's injury last year was what it would do to his ability to move. Okay. And it hasn't. Right? So Burrow can move. Now, Brady can't. But Brady's big problem yesterday, it wasn't just he doesn't have Chris Godwin. That was huge. I mean, that doesn't help. But without Tristan Wirfs, that was one fewer guy up front to keep somebody out of Brady's face. The Rams only had to rush four. Von Miller, and let's be straighter. You know, I think the world of Donovan Smith. Okay, as you know, Donovan Smith. Okay, and I think Donovan Smith had a terrific career. He didn't have a good game yesterday. Von Miller beat him a lot. And then Leonard Floyd, and then of course there's the Aaron Donald influence. They only had to rush four, but they kept getting in Brady's face. And you know, for as great as Brady is, and Brady's the gold standard. Right? It's always been, can you get into his face, which then makes him like every other quarterback on the planet. As soon as somebody gets in their face, it's going to be more of a struggle. Same thing for him yesterday. They got in his face. Aaron Rodgers, early in his career, early to the middle part of his career, Aaron Rodgers, who still moves well in the pocket, but not, you know, look, he's 38 now. There was a play, look, you know Saturday I couldn't watch Saturday for obvious reasons. Our game was at 4 o'clock. I was on at 4. I was in Iowa. You know, caught a little bit on my phone going to the airport because the plane was an hour late. Literally, when Robbie kicked the field goal, I was pulling into my neighborhood listening to it on the radio. So I never saw it. I really didn't see much of it. But there was one play I did see where Rodgers took off. And it looked, I mean, you know, like the Aaron Rodgers of old gets there, and Bosa tripped him up from behind. That was, to me, that's where he showed he was 38. All right? Just because, you know, you're older. It's just the fact of life. I mean, you know, father time is undefeated, which you will find out at some point in your life. I mean, I know you think you're indestructible. But at some point, you will find out that Father Time is undefeated. Robbie Gold, I thought of Bob Buehner, our late friend Bob Buehner.
Tremendous point.
That's why I'm here, Matt. I have the ability to do this stuff still, even at my advanced age. I thought of our late friend Bob Buehner, who was such good friends. When Robbie kicked the field goal, and I literally was pulling into my neighborhood, and I was, you know, and the ball went through, and I was listening to the Packers broadcast, Wayne Larrabee, and I thought, oh, Bob must be smiling down from heaven on that one. Bob and Robbie were really good friends. Really good friends. And of course, Robbie's from Mill Hall, and Bob befriended Robbie years ago, about the same way Bob and I became friends. And you know, Robbie doesn't have a shoe contract. You know that, right?
I did not know that.
Another reason why I'm here on the show. So he doesn't have a deal with Nike or Adidas or Under Armour or anything like that. He gets his shoes from Angelo's down in Lancaster. Robbie's dad, and I think it's Angelo's dad, played soccer together, were good friends. So he just over time befriended whatever. So the week of the game, Robbie got a hold of Lawrence Tynes, who kicked the game-winning field goal for the Giants when they beat the Packers in Favre's last Green Bay game. In the, you know, it was below zero that day. Tynes kicked the field goal, and he texted Tynes or got a hold of him, and Tynes told him, he said, "Look, when you get on a field like that, that's frozen," he said, "shorter approach, you know, and the ability to plant that foot is critical, and a shorter approach will help you do that without slipping." Okay. Well, Robbie felt like he needed new shoes for this game. So he got a hold of Angelo's down in Lancaster, and they sent him some shoes. And Robbie didn't like how they fit. So what he did was, he says, he got a hold of me, he says, "God," he said, "they don't quite feel right." So Angelo overnighted another pair of shoes. And Robbie got him, and he said that he told Angelo's, "Hey, look, this is going to work. This feels fine." And then he kicked the field goal to win it.
How about that? That's awesome. Well,
again, that's you know, that's why I'm here. I'm trying to keep my value on the show. Oh,
I mean, that's something you don't hear about every day, though. Again, why you're in the lead seat, your lead catbird seat here, but still, like the. See, I didn't. If I would have known that, now I can appreciate that even more. Now that moment yesterday for Robbie, that's awesome.
Yeah, no, it's great. Eric sent us an email. Is there any talk of Penn State adding some non-conference games like Ohio State did, since they appeared capable of 500 in the conference, three games, blah, blah, blah. Eric, when Penn State lost its game with Minnesota last week, it was postponed. I keep coming up with the date in my mind of February 17th. Penn State did try to get an opponent for last Wednesday, Eric. They contacted 9 schools. 2 of them appeared to be very close to doing it, but then decided not to. So, Eric, they have made efforts. Okay? They have made efforts. So I hope that answers Eric's question. Again, a reason I'm on the show. No, you feel better?
You, sir, are my hero!
It just can't be. I'm so glad Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady are out. Like, oh, I give up. Nothing to do with winning or losing. I'm not into the personality. See, I'm not into the personality game. I could care less about the personality game. I just don't care. I look at the games. Yeah, to be honest, you know, it's like Kyle Shanahan makes one great call at the end of the game. That was, I mean, you look at the coaches on the San Francisco staff. Which one had the worst game of the coordinators? Shanahan, the special teams guy, was a genius. DeMeco Ryans, the defensive coordinator, had a great game plan, right? Meanwhile, he's over there getting 2 field goals. Hey, all right. He's the offensive genius. He's got 2 field goals. But he called a timeout before the last one, and he changed it from a pass play to a running play to Deebo Samuel. It didn't matter if the play worked or not, because, you know, the worst case scenario is you go to overtime. Packers were out of timeouts. That was a great call by Shanahan. That really was. The rest of the calls, eh. It's like, eh.
Agreed.
I'm like, whatever, it's fine. But that call was a great call. And Rick Goslin, the great writer in Denver, ranks the special teams units every week. Guess where he had Green Bay?
I'm going to say 32nd.
32. Exactly where he had him. And it showed up. It just bit them. I mean, because look, the Packers have the game won. I mean, the Packers have the game won when that punt is blocked. I mean, they've got the game won. I mean, their defense is playing lights out. I mean, San Francisco's not doing anything. Right? I mean, San Francisco ended up with 2 field goals in the game. You're telling me they're scoring a touchdown? They went for it on 4th down, which was the right call. They got stuffed. It was the right call, by the way. Going for it on 4th down was the right call. They got stuffed. Green Bay's defense played great. Not good. They played great. But that game yesterday, you know what? The Bills, oh, I kept thinking, at least squib it or else punch it to the 10-yard line. Something where they've got to run some clock just to return it, even if it's 2 seconds, 1 second, just to make the clock move. And he kicked it out of the end zone, which I understand it's the safe thing to do. But I kept thinking, I'll never forget 2005. Penn State's playing at Michigan. And Michael Robinson scored with 52 seconds to go on a quarterback draw. It was a great play. It was to the left end zone. And Penn State kicked off, and they kicked it in such a way where Breston returned it. And he returned it to the 45, and you're like, oh. It sort of was in the categories, like the one guy you didn't want touching it. It's like, oh. It gave me that feeling when I saw that when Buffalo did that. And this is the same coaching staff that made the great call on the option play, by the way, the Bills. All right. We'll take a break. Matt's happy because of other people's misery. We all have our way of getting joy in life. Beautiful wife, 2 great kids, but Brady and Rodgers lost in the same weekend. That's the only reason for happiness. It's like, it doesn't add up to me. This doesn't add up. Brought to you by Purdy Insurance on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Every year can bring new challenges. Your insurance doesn't have to be one of them. Hi, this is Season from Purdy Insurance. 2022 has begun, and now is the perfect time to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you. We have the experience and knowledge to help you protect what matters most. You can contact our office at 570-286-5855 or online at purdyinsurance.com.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Your joy means so much to all of us. Sure, your joy comes through the misery of others because your teams aren't that good. So you've got to find joy somewhere in somebody else's misery.
It's more so Aaron Rodgers than Tom Brady, to be honest.
What is it about Rodgers that irritates you?
It's just the way he conducts himself now. It's like he's just very arrogant, and it rubs me the wrong way. Just the way he handled the whole offseason coming into this year, really the last two, but especially this year. Just his whole look, it's just, he's got weird vibes to me right now. I just don't get it.
Okay.
He's just very selfish to me, that's all.
Yeah. Okay. There you go. Just wanted to make sure that was clear, because I've had several questions today, but I haven't had any. All right. Does it bother you in the staff meetings that the suit uses Babbel to speak English? Does that bother you? All right. I was just asking.
F-O-U-L-E-D. That spells FOUNDA.
Babbel in English. How do I say we need to sell more? No habla inglés. All right. Let's bring in Matt Leon from Philadelphia. Sir, it's always a pleasure. Great to have you with us. Don't have him there?
Yeah, don't have him. Sorry.
Okay. Let's see if I can ring him up on my end of it. Why does one person have to do everything? I just don't understand. Why? Tell me why. Tell me. Hey. I know that when it comes to the complaint department, I understand that you feel like that's your part of the show, but why? Why, I ask you? Welcome. Great to have you with us.
Good to be with you.
Did you have a good time watching that yesterday?
Yeah, it was bonkers, man. It really was. You're watching and you're saying, well, that can't happen, or this can't happen, or, well, this team's done, and it was never correct. The whole, right from the second half of the Buccaneers-Rams game right through the whole Chiefs-Bills game. But, you wonder why the NFL is number one in this country, yesterday was why.
Yeah, no, exactly. And let's face it, you end up, and this is why I've been pushing hard on this 12-team playoff for college football. Everybody keeps, well, there's blowouts in the semifinals. And most of the great games were in this round, and we saw that in the NFL yesterday.
Yeah, no, it was, every game had incredible drama, exquisite execution, storylines at the yin-yang. Even probably the least exciting game was the Packers 49ers game, just because of what it was up against. But that game, not for nothing, but you've got the snow at Lambeau, so you've just got the visual of something you're going to see on NFL films. You've got the Aaron Rodgers storyline, and I was watching that game, and I was texting with a friend who's a Packers fan, and you're seeing it, and Packers are dominant, controlling it. And it's one of those games you look up, and it's only 7-0. Boy, it feels like it should be 30-0 or something like that.
Right.
And like I said, I think they're in trouble. Like, games like this, almost inevitably, whenever a team has dictated and dominated but doesn't have it on a scoreboard, something happens that, you know, a tipped ball, a blocked kick, and here it was a blocked kick. And as soon as that happened, you felt like it wasn't a matter of if the Niners were going to find a way to win, but just how. And they did.
And they did, as a matter of fact. And Rick Goslin, who does a great job, is one of the all-time great writers out of Denver. He does his weekly review of who happened to be the top or worst special teams units in the NFL. He had the Packers 32nd going into the game.
Yeah, and, you know, it was a combination of things. It was, they had the field goal blocked. I guess it was the end of the first half. And obviously the punt block, where the Niners, apparent from what I understand, didn't even have a punt block on. And that makes it even more egregious. They couldn't stop a five-man rush. There's the kickoff where they kicked it to Deebo Samuel. Like, they didn't realize he was back there. Like, you know, things like that just add up, and that can make up for a lot of problems. You think of the field position, the big plays, and obviously the points that cost. Any one of those plays, if they are covered, you know, blocked, executed not even perfectly, adequately, Green Bay probably wins.
That's one of the reasons why, and it doesn't mean that Kansas City doesn't win the game, but I still would have squibbed it.
There, I just was saying, yeah.
Just with the idea that at least a second, maybe two runs off the clock.
Yeah, and the way that game was going, though, it almost felt, I agree with you, because my first thought was, I don't even know if I would have squibbed it. I would have tried to kick it to the 10-15-yard line, force a return, and you would run 3, 4, 5 seconds off the clock with that. But that being said, you can't give up 45 yards in two plays. And not for nothing, those two plays at the end of regulation would bother me less if it was Jerick McKinnon and Byron Pringle that made the plays. You can't let Tyreek Hill and Jason Kelce be the guys.
They have two stars.
Yeah, you just say, listen, and I'm not smart enough X and O's to know how possible this is, but I think a lot of times guys get lost in their coverages, and when I say guys, I mean coaches, and their schemes and personnel. I think sometimes it comes down in situations like that to backyard football. You cover 10. You cover 87. Everybody else take a zone. We'll take our chances. Like, I just, and, you know, it's just amazing to me. Not only if they were able to do those plays, but it was so easy. Like, those were not spectacular catches by either guy. They were wide open with no one within 7-8 yards around them. And, you know, just, and not for nothing, as a guy who deservedly got killed for years in Philadelphia for his clock management failures, that also happens because Andy Reid's got all his timeouts at the end. Yeah. And he's got the ability to do whatever he, like, to pull off a miracle like that.
It was fun. It was great theater, you know, getting around it. Something about Antonio Brown that I've noticed is that he's at the point where nobody cares. Is Ben Simmons warping into that realm of, I don't see you, so I forgot about you?
In one way, yes. In another way, no. I think the Sixers are playing really good basketball, and it's powered because Joel Embiid is the best player on the planet right now, and he's
great.
Pulling the rest of the team with him. But so in that case, I think, yes, nobody is watching a Sixers game thinking, oh, I wish Ben Simmons was out there. Man, if they had Ben Simmons in X, Y, and Z. But I think everybody knows that he's not there by design and that the Sixers are eventually going to have to do something. And there's a lot of talk, of which I agree, that you've only got so much time with Embiid at this level. And you have to maximize your opportunities to get a ring in this situation. And as much as great as Embiid is and as well as they're playing now, I don't think they can win a championship as they are currently constructed. If they can move Simmons for whatever that is to get back, maybe they're in a better place. So I think from kind of a day-to-day on the court, yes, no one's thinking about Ben Simmons, but in a big-picture franchise, can we cash in on this incredible gift that is Joel Embiid? Yes, people are very aware.
Well, here's the issue, though, when it comes to Simmons, when the way it's played out, all right? If you don't know the team, what are you going to give up for him? Because you know that the Sixers are between a rock and a hard place with the guy.
So
you don't have to do a max, a max player deal to get him.
And that's, I'm sure, what's holding Daryl Morey back, that he doesn't want to give up 25 cents on the dollar.
Right.
And I get that. And I think in a normal situation, that's probably true. But if the 25, 30 cents I can get fills needs that this team has right now, I think I'm leaning towards that and take your chances with what you got. Because I look at this purely through the lens of it would be a sin to not win a ring with Joel Embiid at this level. And whatever you can do to try to make that happen, I think you have to do.
And so, you know your basketball really well, obviously. Give me a team out there that actually fits Ben Simmons. I'm not saying where they could get something for him, but would fit Ben Simmons. Who would that be?
I think it's a very complex question because I think there isn't a team that couldn't use what he brings to the table. A 6'10 facilitator who plays elite level defense. The lack of shooting thing is weird, and it's going to be an anchor around wherever he goes. But we haven't seen anything from Ben Simmons that indicates he is a guy that can thrive in a high pressure situation or city.
Right.
And there's a part of me that thinks he would be happiest going somewhere like Sacramento, where he can play, doesn't get second guessed about stuff. He can put up his numbers, maybe gets to the playoffs every other year, but doesn't get second guessed about what he can't do or what he can do or what his choices are. So I like from a basketball standpoint, I think there are very few teams that wouldn't be able to utilize him and wouldn't become better. But I don't know that that's the. I think he might only. I shouldn't say only, but he might just be interested in somewhere where he can go, be one of the top guys on the team, but also not have all the responsibility. And I don't know what that looks like from another team standpoint. I just mentioned Sacramento because it seems like that's a team that right. just kind of keeps popping up every few weeks. There's some kind of story that the Kings are interested in stuff like
could
that.
Could De'Aaron Fox fit with Philadelphia?
I think so. I might. What's different, and I haven't watched a lot of De'Aaron Fox, so what is different between him and Maxey?
First of all, there are people right now in Sacramento that haven't watched him either, so it's all right.
Well, I don't, does he bring something different than Maxey does to the table?
In my opinion, no, but it's another body out there that actually knows how to play, as opposed to a body that right now is not playing.
Yeah, and I wouldn't be opposed to it. Like I said, I don't want to take minutes away from Maxey because you and I might look back 5 years from now and say, "Oh wow, well, it turns out Tyrone Maxey was the other guy." I think he's got that potential. He's got that personality, and he's got a connection to Joel on a personal level where they really enjoy playing for each other. And I'm not saying this like they get rid of Maxey, but I don't know that I would take anyone that might diminish his role or take minutes away from him. And if Fox is just kind of a carbon copy or maybe even a lesser version, I don't know. But to your point, he's a quality NBA player as opposed to a guy who's never going to play for your franchise again. So.
Yeah, but again, your point's great. It's got to be about fit. Fit means something. And because, look, you don't need another star. You got the star of all stars, okay? Now, who fits around that star to enhance your chance of winning?
Yeah. Oh, and I think that's what it's all about because a lot of the Joel Embiid time as a Sixer has been about a weirdly constructed roster. Now, some of that early on was they were just kind of finding pieces and trying to find guys who could play and who could be a part but moving forward, but then You had the Al Horford thing where it was an odd fit. And you just would love to see them be able to put pieces around that all kind of make sense, and let's take our chances that we're going to have the best guy on the floor every night, and we can support him and see if that's enough to win a title.
Whoever thought we'd be talking about the Sacramento Kings. All right, thank you so much. As a fact, we're the only station in America, including Northern California, that is talking about the Sacramento Kings. All right.
Absolutely.
Thanks so much, Matt. Appreciate you.
No problem.
Matt Leon, Philadelphia. Notice there was no hate for Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady in the interview. A message from this station and the Ad Council. You just don't like people.
Only some.
Oh, to be one of your neighbors who didn't quite rake the leaves to the curb. All right. Okay. Great to have you with us on the show today, sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Kick was down the middle and good! 49ers win it! San Francisco is moving on with a 13-10 win here at Lambeau, and this crowd and that Packers team is stunned.
Robbie's never missed a postseason field goal. He has kicked in Super Bowls. He has never missed a postseason field goal. And nailed that one on a night where Aaron Rodgers did not play great. But the Packer defense played really well. But special teams killed them. Blocked field goal, missed points. Blocked punt, turned it into a touchdown, 7. Kickoff return, but you didn't know that was Deebo Samuel back there? Yeah, the dude wearing 19 is dangerous. Message from this station and the Ad Council. So, I'm going to talk about that. So I'm going to relate this weekend to the college football playoff. I'll do a lot more about that in the next half hour. But college football is really missing the boat on this, and they keep delaying and blowing. Just stop delaying. Look at the other people in the room. Say, you know what? We're doing this. Either come along or don't. You know what? ACC, you don't want to be in it? Don't be in it. We're going to do it anyway. Seriously. Yeah, it's exact. I mean, I tell them straight out, you don't want to be in it? You don't have to be in it. All right? It's okay. All right? But look at this past weekend. What wasn't this past weekend? Let's see if Matt's been following along on the show. Okay, I'll fill in the blanks myself. It just has become that kind of show.
Well, I don't understand the question.
I'm shocked.
I mean, you had phenomenal games, and you had all Well, you had some upsets involved, and all road teams won.
But what weren't they?
Oh, okay. They weren't blowouts.
They weren't the semifinal or the final.
Oh, yes.
Which is now relating to the college football playoff. Yes, 2 + 2 on the show does equal 4.
That I did know.
Hey, and when you look at the NCAA basketball tournament, how many highlights are from the first weekend?